counter.
Hey!
Jen is standing off balance. Easy, who want a drink? We haven't.
We haven't.
It's the middle of the afternoon.
I have.
Of course, Jen has. It's the middle of the afternoon.
Hey.
Anyway. Welcome.
I'm Paul Carenza.
Oh, yeah, I'm John Sands.
I'm Jennifer Masters.
And welcome to, sorry, you were going to say.
Yes, welcome to Movie Banter.
The world's foremost leading film podcast.
Very true.
Oh, yeah.
Just the rest of the world has yet to pick up on
it. Yes, they haven't yet caught up
with
us.
We know these.
Yes. But you could do your part. If you promote it somewhere cool and let us know, then we'll do something.
We'll give a prize to the person who publicises it to the most people.
That's true.
You must top a million before we'll give that prize.
Yes. Because otherwise, I don't get out of bed for less than a million. More than a million? Or less than a million. Exactly 1 million.
That's all I want.
One over or under, yeah, nothing
it.
From me.
Forget it.
I'm a very precise but easy man.
Odd mix.
Yeah.
So this week, it's a blockbuster heavy one, isn't it?
Yeah, very true.
It's like summer's here, except the weather's crap.
Yeah. So it's a British summer.
Yeah. It's a British summer, yes. Exactly.
So this week, Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots. And The Awakening, which is less of a blockbuster, because I don't know.
I don't know about that one. In Time.
Yeah,
so
sort of boldy but goody. Future thing.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
And Sherlock Holmes 2.
Right, we've got two blocks.
And maybe Sherlock Holmes 2 if there's time. But
we're on a speed round this
yes,
time.
Yes, we'll have to do it.
If we haven't got all five in, then tough.
Yeah. You know?
It's an exercise, this one. We've got to get through it. Yes. So,
Puss in Boots.
Hey!
Animated spin off time from Shrek 2 and 3 and 4, I think. All of them. Anyway.
Yeah.
Which is surprisingly. Oh, I hadn't. Because I saw it twice for boring reasons. And it hadn't occurred to me until I saw it with Jenny here.
Yeah.
That it's actually the plot of it. So if you sort of strip out the fairy tale-ness, the plot of it is actually could fit an adult film quite well. Not an adult film.
A film for grown-ups. Actually, at times it was.
Well, that's
bit
true
like
as well.
That.
Because there was a lot of betrayal and, it's basically almost a western of sorts.
Yeah.
And it's going to, setting out to find treasure and then being betrayed and redeeming yourself. But more so than your average kids' film would be.
Right.
Entirely applicable to children, but just done in such a way that adults can take stuff from it.
Straight film,
straight DVD.
No, it was good, and I obviously Antonio Banderas' Puss in Boots is just hilarious.
Yes, it is very good.
Oh,
yes.
Brilliant! And we had Penelope Cruz.
Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek. Whoops, got that wrong. Couldn't see her face.
As
just a voice.
Well, yes. As it's like Kitty Soft Paws or.
Right.
Yes, which sounds ridiculous.
It is an adult film.
Yes, he's got the softest paws.
I kind of wanted a Desperado reference, because of course they were both in that many years ago.
Yes.
And there wasn't one at all. Which
maybe
I think,
didn't find it. Maybe it was very
well, simple. I think that may just be my film geekery.
Maybe they were wearing the outfits from Desperado while recording the voices.
I can but hope, because Salma Hayek at one point wasn't wearing very much at all.
Oh, really?
So, hey. Anyway.
Okay.
I digress.
Hey, kids.
Moving on.
Yes, and also you've got Zach Galifianakis as Humpty Dumpty.
Oh,
yeah. Which is a very... The ending isn't really explained. It's kind of interesting.
Yes.
There wasn't really very much fairy tale. I mean, with the other Shrek films, there's quite a lot of like little references and little jokes, and that's kind of... keeps it kind of good for the kids.
Humpty Dumpty and Puss in Boots. Do you want more?
Yeah, but it's...
But that's...
You want fairy tale land?
You have got you have still got sort of Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, not Jack and the Beanstalk. You've got the Beanstalk.
Right. Well, there's Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, but not really... They're just as characters. They don't really do anything... connected to their own
And they're
own
really
story.
Quite mean.
Yeah,
really?
they are the bad guys in this. Ooh. They're huge people.
They're like, rednecks, kind of like stereotypical sort of... And it was Billy Bob Thornton, is that one
of
the guys?
Okay. And I can't remember who plays Jill, but...
they're really quite scary.
But it's an interesting sort of world as well. Because at least in Shrek, because Shrek, you've got so many fairy tale characters, you sort of accept that it's just you.
Probably have to do something
intermingled.
A bit different to make
it not
Shrek 5.
I think
whereas
setting
this is more,
it in the, you
it's
know,
like Mexico, pretty much. And so it's like a normal world with just happens to have two talking cats and an egg on legs. And almost everyone else is kind of normal. Puss in Boots will just wander into and you've got Puss in Boots and Humpty Dumpty are friends as orphans in an orphanage where they're the only two animals or other beings. Everyone else is like normal children.
I think there was a little boy blue.
Oh, yes.
A boy who was blue. And that was it. That was the only other thing.
And beyond that, you just got a cat that can talk and an egg that's wandering around, and that's perfectly normal.
Yeah,
which I kind of like as the surreality of it. Mm. And there's things that there is a sort of a cat bar that they end up at, which is entirely full of cats. Although you get the impression that none of the other cats can talk.
Yeah.
It's only Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek who are chatting to each other.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also sort of playing the guitar or playing the double bass with their claws and things like that. And yeah, it's just, it's quite silly, but he's quite likeable. I think it starts better than it continues, but he's interesting throughout and quite funny throughout.
It is a good film, don't get us wrong. It's just that it's quite a different, it's a little bit of a departure from the other Shrek films.
Yes. The last couple of Shrek films have not been critically acclaimed.
Oh, I'd say, but maybe better than Shrek, but not as good as Shrek 2, possibly. Okay. Yeah, from memory. No, he's definitely, it's been very well reviewed, and I enjoyed it, and was willing to see it twice for a start.
And notice as well for being, I think, the most mainstream and big budgeted Hollywood film with two Latino Hispanic leads.
True,
because I know they've said in a lot of interviews they said a lot before that sort of when they both came to Hollywood, the only parts they could get were baddies.
Yeah.
Now suddenly they're leads.
Yeah, very true.
And they're good characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's worth a watch. Yeah, it works for kids, and I think it does genuinely. Adults should be able to get stuff out of it.
There are a few
innuendos as well. With Puss in Boots are referring to his other nicknames he's had, like sort of Frisky Two Time,
and the Furry Lover.
Yes, the Furry Lover. Yeah,
I can imagine in his voice, in Antonia Banderas's voice. That
yes,
would work quite well.
Yeah, it does. It works. So yeah, worth a watch.
Anyway.
The Awakening.
Yeah, The Awakening. It's a horror film. It's a gothic sort of horror-y thing.
Oh, is this the Rebecca? Yes.
Ghosts and public
school.
Oh, yes. The Daniel Craig.
It looked quite good.
It was all right. I think I didn't make it to the end. But
did you not?
Okay. I think
you
it's
left.
Better that I sort of did. I didn't.
Did you have to, or did you just not care?
A bit of both.
Oh, see.
I think it was. Maybe I was just filmed out at the time. I'd seen probably about three that day, and I think it was one of these very slow. If you're in the mood for sort of slow and paced sort of horror thriller, but not thriller is the wrong word. It's not a. It's a chiller. More detective-y ghost story thing rather than sort of stuff.
Right. Okay.
So it wasn't really a roller coaster ride. It was a roller coaster that's just flat and has no loop the loops. A train. Right.
It's a train.
If you've got a theme park and it's those kind of.
Yeah, it's a monorail around a theme park.
That,
yeah.
Just go around on a little track.
Wow. So
it's
that's those, really
it's
not
a
great.
Fire engine exactly. That just sort of rocks back and forth.
But I think it's probably better than I found it.
I think if you've seen three films in one day, that might have.
Yeah. And I always feel if I haven't seen the whole film, I can't really properly review it.
That's,
all I can say
good.
Is I can only review the cunning can have to happen from someone else.
Cunning.
It's not really a ringing endorsement though that you just felt the urge to wander
but
out.
Given we have other films to talk about, I'm happy to leave it at
that. No, fair enough.
Okay.
And go. It's okay. Probably it's good actors in it. Well
done.
Yeah, I was
going to say.
Rebecca
Hall,
very good.
Good pedigree. Mm.
And but it wasn't necessarily my cup of
char.
Yes, fair enough. So onwards to In Time.
What is a cup of tea that is a good cup of tea in metaphoric ways? In Time, I thought, because I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, this is one which unusually we've all seen.
We have, with Justin Timberland.
I want to say Mila Kunis is not.
Lots of other people who are aged exactly 27.
Even though some of them really don't look that age.
Well, yes.
They're all meant to be 25, is it?
25,
they're not 25.
I think every lead role in it is between 27 and 34.
I mean... Who's that guy who's in it who plays his best friend who's...
Oh, yes, Johnny, the guy from Big Bang Theory, whose name escapes me.
He's now about 40. Yeah. Are you looking at him going...
He was playing a teenager or a late teenager in Roseanne, which would have been like 20 years ago.
Right.
So he's got to be at least 35 now.
Yeah.
Didn't pull that off.
Yes. But at least he's meant to look like he's had a bit of a hard life and sort of a bit stubbly and
So the idea is though that these people you stop aging at 25, don't you?
Yes.
And you get to live until you're 25, which is very nice of this police state. But after that point, you have to earn your time.
Yes. Well, you get given a year.
A year.
And then that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you choose to just laze about for a year, you'll then die. Yeah. And good luck to you.
But you can go and earn. So if you go and work, rather than be paid money,
you get paid time.
And you zap your arm in and it goes and you can earn money.
And then you pay for drinks, travel, everything.
Yeah, seconds or minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, and it is, it's an interesting idea and unusual. Well, because normally, when talking films like that, I feel like Cotton's it's an interesting idea. It wasn't very well executed, but this actually was. They've thought it out.
Yeah.
It left me to the extent that I actually wanted to know more about it. I mean, there are no plot holes as such, but I wanted to know more about how the economy of all this would work. Because they sort of talk about it quite a lot, and that's the structure of it is quite important. Yeah. And you've got different time zones, which are essentially just a way of keeping out the riffraff, pretty much. So if you've saved up enough time, then you can get into a better zone.
You have to pay to enter.
Because you don't want to be wealthy in a poor neighbourhood because they will see you
yes.
And mug your arm, basically.
Yeah, you can just, yeah. I think yeah. you can transfer time essentially just by grabbing hold of someone's arm. And there are a couple of almost...
It's about willpower, it's about
yeah.
mental connection.
It's like arm wrestling contests where whoever's hand is on top they can take the time.
Yes.
So they kind of wrestle with each other to, yeah. So yeah, they're just interesting ideas dotted yeah. around this.
I thought it was, even the background sort of in jokes about, you know, the billboard, rather than saying everything for a pound shop, or everything for a dollar shop, it's everything for a day, isn't it? Or that
yeah.
kind of thing. So it's where time is currency. They've really, I think, maxed out on that in this world.
Yes.
They set it up very nicely.
And everything's kicked off when the...
I
can't remember
rich.
His name.
Killian Murphy.
No, he's not. But Killian Murphy is the sort of the bad guy. Well, sort of the bad guy.
No, he's the ranger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And he's not bad. It was an interesting sort of
parallel.
Well,
yeah, actually, yeah, he made him...
Because you completely sympathise. He was a ranger, and since he's like a part of the government, he gets rationed time so that he can't ever get mugged.
Yes.
And obviously he's got to do his job very well, and he's in a position where he's always down to like the last few hours
yeah.
of
yeah.
his life, yeah. always. And it's an interesting sort of state of play when he's going above and beyond the call of duty and yet doesn't necessarily get rewarded for it.
But it's kind of driven to the extent that almost he's on a couple of occasions, he like forgets to pick up his ration time because he's sort of hot on the chase and just doesn't. Yeah. But the guy I was thinking of, I can't remember his name, but he's in a TV series in America called White Collar and
he's
very good
very
in that.
Pretty. Yes.
Yes, he is very pretty. Who
well,
is,
job,
he's got like over a century of time on him. And he is sick of life and sort of gives it all to Justin Timberlake, who is then suddenly got more time than he knows what to do with, and everyone can see it because it's all illuminated on your arm. So it all, yeah, shifts the balance a lot.
Yeah.
And then people start hunting and saying, no, we can't have that much time sort of in the system.
And also,
I think it's the system I'd like to know more
it.
About. Yes.
Yeah. And this idea that you can spot that he has, he's from a poor neighbourhood because he runs.
Everything's
yeah.
quick.
People don't run because they've got all the time
yeah.
they need. Whereas
yeah.
if you're poor, you have to run.
Yeah, because you need to get. You, know, you can't waste seconds.
And that whole thing with Justin Timberlake's mum and the bus.
Yeah.
I don't recall crying in a futuristic dystopian action thriller before, but it's beautifully done, I thought.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's very... I mean, it could almost be a little bit too heavy-handed of sort of, oh, the rich against the poor and isn't it all terrible? But it sort of it makes that point, but relatively subtly, because that point is worth making.
Yeah.
But it doesn't batter you over the head with it. It does... You know, that's the undercurrent of the whole thing, of the general unfairness of it all, without constantly saying, look how unfair, see the parallels with the current world.
Yes.
And you can pick up on that, that's fine, and then get on with the film.
Yeah.
So,
but I thought
yeah,
it does that very well. It's a perfect
yes.
time to make this. They all sort of say you get the sci-fi films you deserve, although it never quite seems it.
Mm.
But in fact, whatever time it is in the 70s, you got sort of films that were relevant to then, but right now it's about this economic crisis, and it kind of fits that.
Yeah, and the inequality and the idea that some people, you know, higher up the financial chain, rule everything.
Keeping
it all, yeah, setting it all up for their own benefit.
Because the fact is, where does this time come from? Who creates the time? And and why can't we all have as much as we need?
Yeah. But I think that was the question I kind of like, because he starts robbing banks and just dishing out time to people. But I found myself thinking, in theory, that's good, but also... Yeah, it'll end up causing problems.
But like Weimar Germany, you can't have it.
Well,
or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
economists. Yeah.
But with actual money, it's sort of less of an issue, because if suddenly everyone had loads of money, I mean, yes, you've got inflation and other problems, but it's less of an issue.
Yeah.
In a world where you've got finite resources and everyone can live forever, if everyone does live forever, then you've got a real problem.
That's true.
So sort of saying, hey, it's better that we can all live forever. It's
like, no.
Yeah, but I kind of want to see what'll happen in the world of in time, you know, 50 years from then. When suddenly, you know, everyone's thinking, maybe we should just bring back the old system because, this is going badly wrong.
I thought at times it seemed a bit like a Bond film because they've got the casino stuff, they've got the rich parties, things like that.
Yes.
And the man and the girl. And,
it's very stylish.
It was, I think, so in that sense, they picked up the nice things from that sort of thriller kind of setup and did something interesting with it. So I thoroughly approve.
Yeah, it's well executed.
Yeah.
Cool. We're slightly out of time.
Oh, well, should we do a quick one more?
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Want to say that? We should maybe say that.
I think we've got more to say about that. Because as you said about it, whereas Sherlock Holmes, I think, is relatively easier to do.
Do Sherlock. We'll come back for The Girl with the Audrey Tattoo.
Yes. Sherlock Holmes 2, I'd pretty much say, is kind of the same as the first.
Well, it is, isn't it?
More or less. Which is, for all the good and bad that entails.
Yes.
Which is, I did enjoy it. The trouble is, since the first one, I've read all of the books. So I'm slightly there. Oh, no, Robert Downey Jr. is still very good.
Mm.
But I more want sort of a proper Sherlock Holmes world rather than a little bit too action-y.
Well, also, since the first one came out, I've seen Sherlock
Holmes.
Well,
yes, you've also got the BBC series.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
So, but it is so, the TV series is so surprisingly good that you kind of think, you kind of feel sorry for any other Sherlock
Holmes. Yes, it's always unfair to compare with us.
Well, they wouldn't know that there was going to be a masterpiece on this. Well, yes. In the last year, would they? They wouldn't know this.
Yes.
I wonder if you've seen it.
You, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, because both the original film and this one, they do have the Sherlock Holmes detection side and him planning things out and analysing and being a bit of an arse.
Mm.
And so the character is there. It's more, they have, you know, there's more fighting and action and chasing.
Is it Danny's. Silly?
No, not really. But you saw the first one, didn't you?
Yes, I like that one.
Yeah, it's much the same as that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's more of the same, really. Except that I think I could have done with a couple more of the, you know, the fight scenes that they plan everything out and they play it in their head and then they do it, sort of thing.
Mm.
Whereas in the second one, they did a couple of those, but I could have done with a couple more of those and a couple. There were a couple of moments where Sherlock Holmes won a little gun battle or something by being a gun-toting buff action hero,
rather than being
intelligence of Sherlock Holmes. And I think if you're going to go down the route that they've set up, which is that he can plan everything out, you've got to be you've got to stick to that quite carefully. And there's a couple of times I think they dropped it in the second one.
That's a bit
where
of a shame.
They made him Jason Bourne or something, and he's not that. It's meant to be. You know.
Yeah.
But that said, they did rein it back in a couple of times and win it back. I thought the end with Moriarty.
Yes. Moriarty adds a lot.
We don't
to
need
this.
To fight because they both play it out.
Yes, they both
go, okay, well, I do that, you do that, okay. Okay, so you probably win that, but then I do that, you know.
Yeah. And so, but I could play this advantage. And they're not discussing it, but you can just see. You know, Sherlock Holmes is thinking, but I have this advantage he doesn't know about. And Moriarty's pretty much thinking, but he doesn't know that I know that and I know this thing. So they end up just sort of smiling at each other and they both know exactly what's going to happen. And then it happens. And I won't say what that is.
Okay.
So Moriarty adds a lot to it because they are, you know, two great minds, opposite sides of a coin and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. I enjoyed it a lot. And,
it's just slightly
disappointing in comparison to the BBC series, really, which is far purer.
I know of some people as well who haven't seen this film until now and have been watching and enjoying the BBC series, which has only been a three-parter, 90 minutes each, that's fair enough. But they go, it's only a three-parter, I need more. And so they think, I'm going to go to the cinema and see Sherlock Holmes 2. And they do, and they go, that's not the same.
No.
That's
so,
not Sherlock.
No, yeah, I mean, you can see what different. They've done. They've got a... And also, you know, it's a two-hour film that's meant to be appealing to a wider audience. And it's not entirely watered down. It is still the essence of Sherlock Holmes.
It's just a Hollywood film with Jude Law and, you know... And
no,
Robert
but
Downey
the essence
Surely
of, the essence of Sherlock Holmes is still there, though. Robert Downey Jr. still makes a good Sherlock Holmes. But there's just fewer opportunities for him to be properly Sherlockian in it because of the nature of the film.
Yeah. Okay.
At heart, it's director Guy Ritchie is Guy Ritchie. You know, this is the guy who did Lock, Stock and those sort of things. And, you know,
slightly gritty.
A little bit sort of Danny Dyer occasionally is in his roots, which he's, you know, he's not going to want to do a Stephen Moffat version of Sherlock.
No, exactly. You know. But that's the thing, which is why I feel I don't want to criticise the films too much because I did enjoy them.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad that the BBC versions exist because I prefer them.
Yeah.
And proves also you can modernise Sherlock Holmes and still say truer to Sherlock Holmes than to a period era film necessarily will. But anyway.
There you go. We were going to, in theory, do Desert Island Flicks the best Sherlock Holmes film, but we don't really know of many apart from
those two.
Young Sherlock Holmes.
Which I haven't seen.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh,
I know, sorry. I have added lots of the old, like Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes to my Love Film list, which I will see quite soon.
Young Sherlock Holmes is amazing.
They've re-released Young Sherlock Holmes in shops. You know when the new film comes out?
Yeah.
And if there's a previous film with a similar title, they repackage it.
Oh, yes.
And sure enough, they've repackaged Young Sherlock Holmes in the same font as the new Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, dear.
A little bit cheeky.
Yes.
So you go thinking, oh, I get to see Robert Downey Jr. a bit younger.
Although I did see on Love Film, also to stream, there is a Puss in Boots, The Untold Story.
Okay.
Which looks like Puss in Boots. It's not Puss in Boots. Don't get taken in.
Right.
It's not going to have Antonio Banderas.
Naughty
it just looks
people.
Like a shoddily animated piece of dribble.
Naughty.
But yes. So anyway, that's your lot.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to email about any of these things, podcast at moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes. Or Twitter at moviebanter. Facebook.
.com/moviebanter.
Or just Google Movie Banter, you'll find us.
You'll find
We're there. Us. We're there.
So yes, but have a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll be in touch. Some,
in due course.
Yes,
very true.
Brilliant.
But yes, all to come.
We'll see you eventually.
Bye.
Bye.